As we get ready for this morning's message, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and we love you. And Jesus, we need you. Every hour, every moment of every day, Father, we are broken. And Father, we need your grace and your mercy, and you lavish that upon us. And so, Father, we say thank you this morning. We thank you for your goodness, for your blessings, for your love that you lavish. When we're walking through that storm, Father, you're right there. And Father, we just call out to you, and you are so good, and you answer. So, Father, I pray for those this morning that may be going through a difficult season, that you would just come around them and love on them and wrap your arms of compassion and grace around them. And I pray, Father, for encouragement, that you would use us, the body of Christ, to encourage one another, to lift one another up, and to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ himself. So, Father, use us in this community to minister not just to one another, but to this world that so desperately needs to know about the love of Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that for this community and this country, Lord, that we would get back and be centered on your word that is true and right. And thank you for giving us your word that gives us confidence in you. So, Father, we just thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 14 today as we look at a passage that might be familiar to some of you. Maybe you've seen it before, but I'm praying that God will make it fresh and new to you and allow you to apply some of it to your lives. Well, I think we've all had experiences in starting something out with enthusiasm, but maybe not finishing it, okay? Any husbands out there that started maybe a project around the house, and you just kind of get into it, and then takes a little while to get it back put together, and if ever, right? You know, and so I, you know, just did a little Google search on things that maybe, you know, that we've, things that started well but didn't finish, okay? And it's unbelievable if you type that into Google, there are millions of things that will come up and articles. But just to give you a few of them, kind of interesting, maybe this has been true for you. You know, diets. How many of you, you know, have been going on in a diet and then all of a sudden it's like, you know what? I'm tired of eating all the bananas that way. You know, I'm going to go with something new. Or maybe it's workout plans. You like start out great and you're like running and you're like, I can do this every day for months. And then day two comes and you're like a little sore, right? You're like, forget that, right? You know, something else that people give up on. It says med school. Okay. A lot of us, gave up before I started. And then there's college, you know, and college is one of those ones that probably for some of us, we get in and think it's a little bit fun and maybe too fun. And the college informs you, you're not fit for college and you might need to take a season off, you know? So that's what some people do. One that's popular as well, it's Navy SEAL training. I don't know how many of you have gone out and done Navy SEAL, you know, training, but lots of people start it, but very few people finish it and get it done. Another one that came up was running a marathon, okay? They say a very, very high percentage around miles 18 to 20 give up. Why? Because your body is screaming at you, give up, right? This is not a good idea. I was told that if you want to do marathon training, you run out 13 miles and you make sure you don't take your phone or your wallet because then you have to find a way back, right? So some of the other things are reading a book. Some people, you know how you start a good introduction and you're like, this looks pretty good. And then all of a sudden that stays on the nightstand for quite a while. One other one I thought was kind of funny was the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Okay, and that's one of those, I don't know if you've seen that, a few of you laughing have probably seen it, but there's probably about 30% of you say, that is the greatest movie series of all time, and the other 70% of you say, could movies be any longer, right? Those are hours and hours, they're over 3 hours each, and you're like, I don't think I'm going to finish that, right? Well, I found out in life of faith that we also sometimes experience starting things without finishing them as well. And maybe some of you have committed to reading through the Bible in a year. And you're like, okay, this is good. The first month is really good. And you get through Genesis, and then you get to Leviticus. And you're like, I'm going to take a month off, okay? And then you just kind of never get back to it. That's what happens a lot of times. Or maybe memorizing scripture. We memorize one or two that are really short, and you're like, I'm going to memorize 500, and then we get a little longer ones, and it's a little bit more difficult. And maybe there's some destructive, sinful habits. You're like, I'm going to give these up. I'm going to give these up. And then we just kind of keep re-owning them. Maybe you've thought about being generous, and I want to live a generous life, but then the bills kind of add up, and it pulls us back from being really what God's designed and just being generous and caring for the body of Christ. And so there's a lot of things in our walk that we've kind of, sometimes we don't complete. Well, I found that we're going to talk today about the idea of staying faith, sustaining faith. It's the kind of faith that not just makes the commitment, just the initial commitment, but it also sees it through. And so Jesus actually told a story that, this story isn't the story we're going to look at today, but he told a story about two brothers. And the father told the two brothers, hey, can you guys go out and work in the fields? And one brother said, yeah, I'll go work in the fields. But then he didn't. He's like, nah, I decided I didn't want to. And then the other brother said, no way, I'm not going to work in the fields. But guess what? He actually did work in the fields. And which one was Jesus more pleased with? The one that, you know, said, I'm not working, but then actually followed through and went through with it. And so you might want to, and we're going to write, you might want to write this down. It's not just about making the decision that counts with God. It's also following through, because we can have all these grand ideas and not follow through on the things of God. God wants us to have sustaining faith, that we follow through. And one of the aspects of our church is that we really want people in our church to win people to Jesus. We want people to come and hear about the love of Jesus and begin a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. But then we want you to grow. We want you to be in a small group or a Bible study or a Sunday school class where you're growing and your children are getting nurtured as well. And then we want you to be sent to your workplaces, sent to this neighborhood, sent to this community, wherever, all over the world for Jesus Christ. So that's the heart of who we are. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22, is where we're going to dig in. In Matthew chapter 14, this is an infamous story of a man who faltered in his faith, okay, Peter. And we're going to start a series on Acts after Easter. And so we're going to get to know Peter's one of the main characters in Acts. But everybody, I think, loves Peter because we see a lot of ourselves in Peter. Peter was a guy who was very big on promises, but sometimes short on actually living them out in execution. He had great dreams and ideas, but his accomplishments didn't always follow. Peter wasn't his real name, okay? His nickname was given by Jesus as the Rock. And then, you know, that'd be a pretty cool nickname, you know, if Jesus nicknamed you the Rock. And Simon was his real name, okay? So think of him as two different people kind of trapped in one body. And let me give you a couple examples of this. Right after the crucifixion, right? And Peter says, Jesus, I will never deny you. If everyone else denies you, I will never deny you. That's the Peter part of him, okay? And then, he goes out that same night and denies Christ three times. That's the Simon part of him. You know, Peter in Acts chapter 2, he's the first one to declare that God would include the Gentiles into the gospel. That's the Peter, the Rock. And then, you know, later he refuses to eat with Gentiles because he's scared of what the Jews will say about him. So Paul has to actually call him out on it. That's the Simon part of him. And today you're going to see a story, you know, that he says, Jesus, if that's you, just call to me. I will come to you. And he's the only one that wants to get out of the boat. And that's the Peter side of him. But then right in the middle of the storm, he gets scared and he starts to sink. And that's the Simon part of him. And I think Peter's got this faith side, and he's got this fear side. And I think a lot of us might be the same way. I don't know if you remember this, but years ago, McDonald's had this promotion, and it was called the McDLT, okay? And it had its own wrapping and package, and it had a hot side and a cold side. And you took them off, and you got to make your burger with the hot and the cold and make it how you wanted. I don't think it went very well, but Peter's kind of like that. He's got a hot side, he's got a cold side, and I think if we're honest, a lot of us are like that too. You know, we feel like we should have sometimes two names, and we wish we had a nickname like, you know, The Rock, but sometimes it's kind of more like, you know, The Wimp. So here we go. Verse 22 of chapter 14, and I want you to know this is right after Jesus feeds the 5,000. Remember the five loaves, the two fish, the McHappy meal, and he feeds everybody and there's food left over. Well, this is where we're at in verse 22. Verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray, to be with the Lord. When evening came, he was there alone. Verse 24, but the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against him. Real quickly, I want you to see here, they are sent into the storm. Jesus' disciples are sent into the storm by Jesus. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, the safest place to be is in the will of God, right? And that's true. It is the safest place to be. But sometimes we confuse that with everywhere God sends us should be safe and easy, like walking through a rose garden. It's just going to be all beautiful. But they obeyed a direct command of Jesus and ended up in a storm as a result. And I think something that we need to understand is that sometimes when storms hit you, we assume that we're out of the will of God. But friend, that's not what it means. Certain storms will be a part of the will of God for you. Why? Because he's not doing something for you. He's doing something in you and through you. And so that's why he's using it. I'll give you just a couple examples real quickly. Acts 20, verse 22 and 23. This is Paul says this, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship awaits me. So Paul's like, I'm being sent to Jerusalem. I know I'm supposed to be sharing the gospel, but yet he says, the Holy Spirit's told me there's going to be prison and hardship and some difficulty. So he understood that that was all a part of the will of God for him. So when we make a decision in faith and it gets difficult, don't be surprised, okay, friend? Because one, why is it going to be difficult? You have an enemy. We all have an enemy that is trying to pull us away and declare war against us, against any Christian. And that enemy wants to lie, cheat, steal, distract, whatever the enemy wants to do. And the second reason is God is trying to sometimes test your resolve. And he's trying to deepen your faith and grow your faith a little deeper. The biggest thing God is going to do in your life is teach you to trust him. And so sometimes, you know, he will take you around it, but usually you go right through the storm, not around it. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 and 3. If you're in a storm right now, I want you to hear this passage. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I pray that that verse encourages you today. Because I don't know about you, I think a lot of times the Savior I want is, you see the hard, rough waters coming, you're like, Lord, can we take that little stream over there? I know it may be a little bit longer, but it looks smoother. I would like to take that one, right? Or maybe my Savior, could you build a bridge over it that I could kind of skip over that path, right? But often what God will do is take us through those deeper times, those harder times. Why does he do it? Because he's trying to show us that his grace is deeper than any storms or waters that you're walking through. And he's trying to show you that his presence is much stronger than any fire that you're going to have to deal with. And so we need to be encouraged today. Faith will often lead us through difficulty, not around it. So let's continue back with this passage in chapter 14. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. So I want you to know that that means it was about 4 a.m. He decides, he's done praying, he's alone. He's like, I'm going to head to the other side. Which means that they've been in the boat now fighting these waves for about 6 hours, okay? And so I just want you to know that this means that Jesus didn't come immediately. When that boat was rocking, the waves were coming, and lightning was flashing, Jesus didn't come immediately. It means he waited quite a while. And so he's letting them kind of be in the storm most of the night before he came. The second thing, verse 25, walking on the sea. Verse 26, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." So we're going to talk about this just for a few moments. Okay, first of all, he doesn't come immediately, like I pointed out. He doesn't, but he also comes close enough to the boat. He's not some far off distance. He's actually, we know, close enough to hear them and speak to them. So he's there near them in the storm. He's just not coming right up to the boat and stopping it. He's just kind of right close by. And so, you know, he comes right up to them, and he doesn't just hop in the boat and say, "You know what, storm, be done. Let's go. Let's sail over to the other side." If you would go to Mark, there's a parallel version of this story in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 6. And in verse 48, it says this about what Jesus was doing. It says, he meant to pass them by. Well, that seems kind of odd, doesn't it? You know, here they are struggling for their lives, and Jesus kind of walks by, and he's like, "Guys, I'll see you on the other side. You guys are like, you know, that wind is nailing you guys. It's a lot easier just to walk across." You know, and so that's, you know, they have to, what do they have to do? They have to call out for help. And sometimes we think, you know what, we can just keep praying about our problem. Never overestimate or think about the importance of us calling out for help when we struggle, okay? He's there to help them, absolutely, when they ask for it. And I love this. They don't even call out in faith. They call out in fear, which is really bad faith. But Jesus answers them. So what does that show us about our Savior? It shows us that he is an incredibly compassionate Father who responds to all of his children when they call out in trouble. So maybe you're going through a rough season. Call out to the Lord. Ask him for his help, and he's there, and he answers. Psalm 50, verse 15 says this, "Call upon me in the day of trouble," he says, "and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." So he's saying, call out to me. When things get tough, call out to me, and I will deliver you, and then you will glorify me and give me praise and glory for the healing, the help that he provides. And what a praise that is that we have there. We're going to go to verse 28, and it says this, "And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water.'" And verse 29, he said, "Come." I want you to notice there real quickly, Jesus didn't fix the disciples' problems by making the storm go away. He just gave Peter the command, come. And some of you may be in difficulty today, in hardship, and the waves seem to be beating against your boat. And I'm just telling you, stop. Sometimes we have to stop asking God really to solve or fix our situation and start listening. Lord, what are you commanding me to do right now? Even in the midst of this storm, what do you want me to do? Are you calling me to go, to bless, to care? What is it? So sometimes we need to, you know, there's nothing wrong with calling out for help. There's absolutely nothing wrong with calling out for help. But sometimes first we need to listen. What are you asking me to do even in the midst of this storm? So we keep going in verse 29. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, and he came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out to the Lord, "Save me." Okay? One of the shortest prayers we have recorded in history right there. And I got to tell you, there's time for long prayers, right? If you're having a prayer meeting, you pray all you want, right? But there's also times for short prayers. And I was told by some of my family members that one right before Thanksgiving is a good time for one. You know, they want those potatoes to stay hot, right? And also when you're sinking in the mud or in the waves, "Lord, save me." And that's what he cries out. Verse 31. Jesus immediately reached out his hand. Why? Because he's always close, even in difficulty. He's right there by you. So he reached out his hand and he took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? So why is this story in here? And that's a good question to ask anytime of any story in the Bible. Why is it in here? I want you to know this story is not in here to inspire us to walk on water, okay? So don't go fill your bathtub up and maybe don't try it at the pool, you know, because when Paul was out and got shipwrecked a number of times, he didn't just hop out and say, okay, I'll just walk the land. That wasn't the purpose of it. The purpose of the story is to say, how can we continue on? Our starting faith needs to continue on. Because that's one of the biggest problems that Christians are going to have, that we kind of get lazy and we kind of say, I'm not going to do it. We start to give up on our faith. So a couple lessons real quickly. The first lesson I want you to see this morning is this. Starting faith is not enough. We need sustaining faith or staying faith. That's, you know, when Jesus said to Peter, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? He's not talking about the intensity of his faith. He's talking about the duration of his faith. You had faith to start out. You had faith to get on the water. You had faith to get out of the boat. And then where did you drop off that faith? It didn't last very long. So starting faith is not enough. We need sustaining faith. And the second lesson I want you to see is that we find sustaining faith or staying faith in the same place we found our initial faith. Okay? Where did Peter's come from? Peter's came from two places. A vision of Jesus. In verse 27, it says, But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And when Jesus says, Take heart, it is I, in the Greek, it is ego eime, okay? And that means I am. So which is the name of God? And so he's saying, hey, don't worry. I am is here. God is here. And maybe someone needs to hear that today, that you're going through a season and you need to know that the I am is right there. The God of all creation is right there. And Peter saw that the great I am was standing on top of everything that terrified him. All those waves, Jesus was on top of. The second thing that Peter's faith came from was Jesus' command. Peter figured that it's better to obey Jesus' command than to focus on the issues and the problems and the circumstances that he sees in the waves. He sees the great I am is on top of those waves, and you know what? I'm going to keep my eyes on the great I am. And that's what Peter does. He's focused not on what he's going to have to walk through. He's focused on who he's walking to. So I want you to know, maybe a point for you today is that Peter's not so much walking on water as he's walking on the promises of God. And you know what? He's really not standing on top of the waves. He's standing on the character of Jesus. And maybe if you're in the season of waves and you've just been looking around a little too much, stand on the promises of God. Get deeper into the character of Jesus. So that's what he had his eyes focused on. And then he took his eyes off of those and he began to sink. In verse 30, he says, But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. So let me tell you, friend, focus on the word and you'll be able to walk on water. And you'll be able to walk over those storms of life right to Jesus. And that what happens is we get so focused. You know, that's why a lot of times we talk about doing devotions. Open up the word of God. It will give you a confidence, a peace for walking out your day. You turn on the TV, you turn on that news channel, will you be walking in fear then? Absolutely. I mean, it was like, whoa, I don't know if I can take another step in this because it's so difficult. So walk on the promises of God. Here's a little secret to this passage. The point of this passage is not to demonstrate the greatness or the weakness of Peter's faith. The point of this passage is to demonstrate the greatness of God's grace. That's the point of this passage. Because remember I told you a little bit ago, there's a parallel account to this story in the Gospel of Mark. And I noticed that when Mark is telling this story, this exact same story, he leaves out this whole part about Peter getting out of the boat and falling in the water because of his faith. And so you know what? I thought, wait a second, what? Remember, Peter and Mark were traveling companions. And so Most people, a lot of scholars believe that Peter's sermons that he gave were a lot of just the Gospel of Mark were kind of Peter's sermon notes. They were that good of buddies. So at first I thought, Peter doesn't want us to know about his failing in faith. He doesn't want, he's probably ashamed and embarrassed, so he wanted to leave that part out. But I think there's actually a different reason. Peter doesn't want us to focus on him at all. He wants us to focus on the power of a good God and about Jesus' faithfulness. And that's where he wants us to focus. And the things that we should learn from this passage today is, one, I want you to know, the Lord is always close. And some of you might need to hear that today. Maybe you feel like, he doesn't care. He's not a rat. The Lord is always close. And the second thing is when you call out to him, even if it's in fear for a lack of faith, he's going to help you. Jesus will help you. Psalms 94:18 says this, "When I said, my foot is slipping, your steadfast love, O Lord, supported me." Oh, Lord, I'm falling. It was your love, Lord, that is supporting me and lifting him up. I'm telling you, our God is a God that is always there to catch you, to pick you up, to put you back on your feet on top of those waves, right? And all you have to do is kind of look to him. Put your eyes back on him. Maybe you've been looking at the things of the waves of this world a little too much, and you put your eyes back on him. In this story, I want you to know, a friend of mine said, in this story, Peter may have failed at what he set out to do, but Jesus absolutely succeeded in proving exactly what he wanted to prove. And that is that he is always trustworthy. Jesus is always trustworthy. Amen. And I want you to know, what else do we need to see on this side of the cross? There's so much more, but we see a Jesus that not only came to calm the storm, but he took into himself the wrath of God for us. And he not only walked on top of those waves, but he soared over sin and death to the resurrection. And not only does he lift us up on top of those waves, but he fills us with the power of the resurrection. And friend, I tell you, if he's willing to reach down into hell to save me, I know he will help me when I stumble and when I fall and when I'm in a storm. So friend, reach out to the Lord Jesus. Peter, in 1 Peter, he's writing in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Some of the Christians are going through a hard time. And this is what Peter says to them in 1 Peter. He says in verse 6 and 7, "In this you rejoice, though now for just a little while, if necessary, you will be grieved by various trials and storms. They will come and they will be hard, so that you'll be tested, genuineness of your faith, and may be found in the result to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The result of these hardships, your faith is being formed and genuine and going deeper, will be praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. So initial faith, starting faith is not enough. We need staying faith, sustaining faith. So where does it come from? It comes from the exact same place of starting faith. When you trusted the Lord Jesus, now you just trust him to take another step. And some of you may be in the midst of difficult decisions and how you made these. What do? You put your eyes back on Jesus. You put your ears in a place where you start looking for the same place that you made that decision to follow Christ. You believed that he was trustworthy, and you took a dare on Jesus, and you obeyed his commands, and now things have gotten a little bit difficult, and you think he's departed. No, friend, he hasn't left you. You haven't made a wrong decision. He might be testing you. He might be growing your faith deeper. So what do? You re-embrace his character. And you re-listen to his commands that were given to us in the scriptures, and you take the next step. Friend, a lot of us, we think all these great plans. Lord, you want me to do this? Lord, you want me to do this? And you're like, I know I need to do that. And then you just think, I'm not going to do it. You know, or I get busy. Friend, it's time to take that next step. What is that next step? For some of you, it might be the smallest step of trying to forgive somebody that's greatly hurt you. Lord, I don't want to forgive them, but I know you've forgiven me from so much, so I'll take that step of faith. And you keep walking. For some of you, it might be reclaiming forgiveness in your own life. You're beating yourself up over sin, and you, the next step is to take the next courage the next morning to get up and to face that sin again and proclaim the blood of Jesus over you, that you have freedom from the bondage of sin. And for some of you, maybe it's you're in a workplace and you know God has called you to share Jesus in your workplace or in your neighborhood, but it's hard. And you're getting made fun of, and the guys don't talk like me, and yet you know, God, that's the assignment you've given me, so I'm going to be faithful and keep taking a step. Friends, I read a book recently said that there's only one line in your life you can control, and it's not the finish line. It's the starting line. And so the author in this book said, every big finish began with a small step. And so sometimes, friend, that first step that you took, it's time to take another step and trust Jesus and get involved. Use your gifts. Because, friend, I want you to know Jesus is close by. Jesus is compassionate and he loves you. And he doesn't come to criticize you. So just keep walking in faith and he will help you along the way. Keep going and taking that next step. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning that we get to worship you and love you and return praise and glory to you because you're so good. And Father, we can testify. You've carried us in so many storms in our lives. And Father, you've just lifted us up. Father, may we cry out to you, a good God that does care about those areas and those struggles and the waves. And Father, we just turn those areas over to you, Father, knowing that you will use them for your good. So Father, if we're in the midst of a storm, Lord, keep our eyes on you so that we won't be looking around about the waves and the worries and the things that can pull us down and the distractions of Satan, Lord. We just pray that we would be centered on you and that you would just blind us to those other distractions. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your compassion. And I pray that we'd see in this story how graceful, how good, and how compassionate our Heavenly Father is. Oh, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Have a blessed week.